4 o'clock hour is here. So is Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, and Matt Scraby. Finishing up what has turned out to be a competitive, fantabulous,
it's an all-timer
sports game show. Scraby wanted, so competitive, wanted to get his guests off before we went to break. He was not allowed to do so. Talked himself out of it.
I did.
So, with that being said, let's hop right back into it.
It's really been great, guys, and we're down to the end here. If you just tuned in, we will play some Chris versus the fans once this matchup is over.
I got it.
But here are the category today was to name the 21 U.S. states that have seven or more NCAA Division I basketball schools. And Tony jumped out to the lead here. And then got a couple of strikes. Scraby has caught up. Now, Scraby has got seven correct answers. California, Texas, New York, North Carolina, Ohio, Tennessee, and I almost said LSU, but Louisiana. Tony's got seven correct answers with Pennsylvania, Florida, Illinois, Indiana, Alabama, Georgia, and Michigan. And then both guys have two strikes. Scraby got strikes. Incorrect guesses with Wisconsin and Kansas. Tony missed with Washington and Oklahoma. None of those have seven. So seven is the lucky number because you guys both have scored seven, and there are seven correct answers left. Problem is you both have two strikes.
Mm.
So you're right on the doorstep here. We are down to the nitty-gritty. It is Scraby's turn. And I must say, Scraby was just chatting me up during the break. I would have like locked myself in a room if I were him. Mm. And tried to come up with a couple of these.
I'm used to losing this game.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, that's why.
Your honesty,
I guess.
Honesty is respected.
I'm able to compartmentalize.
Yeah. All right. Your guess, Grabe, for the lead right here. Put the pressure on Tony if you can get one here. Keep it going. Got seven correct wins to go. You need a state with seven or more Division I college basketball programs.
I have two states in mind.
You have two states that you're thinking about.
Tick, 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 tick.
You want to talk it out loud or no? Because that would
might tip me off.
That might help your opponent. Can't really talk it out loud. You gotta suffer in silence over there.
You do have to go to break at some point, though. So
I think I'm going to give him all the time he wants because I want to see the anguish on his face as he tries to figure this out.
Well, that's not nice.
Still to come in this hour, we have our Big Five. We have Chris and Tony's NFL Pick'em for Week 1. But right now,
all right,
Fantabulous Game
Show.
All right,
let's go. Here we go.
Who are you going with, Scrape?
I'm counting at least
four. Come on.
Counting
Let's go.
Four.
Who you got?
So I'm hoping a couple more
will just
in
appear.
There.
They'll just appear.
He doesn't want to say it. He's so nervous.
I don't want to go with that.
Why don't you go with somebody where you can think of like nine of them?
Well, I can't, okay? All right. I can count at least four
in
this
state. Do you want to
pass? No. No.
Do you want to pass?
I can count at least four in this state. And I have no idea if there's more.
I hope for your sake there are. I really do.
I keep thinking the state is too small.
Guess.
Well, do you want to tell us the two you're between?
No.
Okay.
All right, I'll just guess.
All right, which one are you going with? What's your official guess? State with seven or more Division I basketball schools is?
Arizona.
And what was your other guess?
Just I can only come up with three.
What was your other guess?
Colorado.
Well, you want the good news or the bad news?
If I lost, it's fine.
Well, I'll give you the bad news first. The bad news, Arizona's wrong. The good news is Colorado was also wrong, so you couldn't have possibly got it right. Tony needs one to win.
Because right,
Tony has to beat you. Otherwise, we continue the game. Arizona has four. They have ASU.
GCU.
Yes. Arizona State. Northern
Flagstaff?
Arizona, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And
I think of GCU.
Grand Canyon.
Which is weird.
You missed that one, Tony.
I had, out of all the schools.
Arizona State and Northern Arizona. I did not have GCU.
Colorado's got five, Scrape, so they come up short as well.
Let me write that down real quick. Colorado. X. And what was the other one? Arizona.
Yeah.
Arizona.
That was funny. I'm between two of them.
Well, I'm trying to think of states that are like kind of big.
Yeah, I know what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're not thinking right. I'll tell you what you should have been thinking at the end of the game. If Tony wins it here, and
I'm going with Oregon.
Oregon.
Ooh, I was not sure. I can only think of two. Oh, Portland.
They only have four also. That's another strike. Sorry.
Wow!
The game continues.
No way! Wait, I have three strikes, though.
So does he. You got to go the whole turn.
Oh, man.
New life.
This is
new
great.
Life. You guys are both alive. Now it goes until one gets one right and one gets one wrong.
All right. I got my next one.
Oregon has four also, Tony. They have Oregon, Oregon State, Portland, and maybe Portland State.
Oh, I definitely got those four. I thought there was enough. Wasn't there like a Western Oregon or a Northern Oregon?
Yeah, there could be, but
you didn't have it on your list.
I don't have them all memorized. All right. There's a 14 out there. There's a 12. And there's 99887. Those are the amounts of the seven correct answers. Neither of you, it's hard to do. I get it. And if you would have done the research I did, you'd understand what I'll tell you at the end.
All right.
But go ahead, Scrape.
I'm going to go with an old state.
An oldie but a goodie.
For a long time.
An oldie but a goodie.
I'm going to go with... Virginia.
Gosh!
Virginia.
Dog it.
Virginia's got 14 schools.
What?
Yeah.
That's insanity.
That was going to be my next one.
Here's the thing. They got, like, George Mason. And they
got George Washington.
Virginia Commonwealth. They got
a
bunch of
all
them.
These little tiny places. Norfolk State.
Ah.
There's a million of them, evidently, in Virginia. 14's worth. So you're ahead 8-7. Now Tony needs one to tie. Six correct answers remaining. Tony.
Missouri.
Oh, I didn't even think about forgot they were a state.
Missouri's got St. Louis. They got Southwest Missouri. They got Missouri. They only have six, though.
What?
Unbelievable.
I thought I was dead.
Good stuff, Scrape.
Man, this turned my entire day around.
That was a good one.
The Padres are going to kill the Orioles.
Hey, y'all seeing
now.
This up here? This is more good news.
Oh, Pittsburgh's up 4-0 on the Dodgers.
Wow. All kinds of things are happening in our favor.
This is amazing.
Shout out to Tommy Pham. One for one with a dub. Two RBIs.
Yeah, 4-0 Pirates. Good start there for sure off Kershaw.
I cannot believe this happened.
Yeah, you
that
know
was
what
a good
you,
one.
You
that
know
was,
what
a, good
guy,
that was a good one.
What you didn't get to was all the little these are all on the Eastern Seaboard, and they're all with these little tiny schools that have like 400 students, and they all have Division I schools. South Carolina has 12.
I didn't trust it.
Maryland has 9. Massachusetts 9. Kentucky 8. I thought you'd get New Jersey because that's a pretty big state. They
that
have
was my
eight.
Next.
And then this one, this was almost impossible to get, but somehow Utah has 7.
They got Weber.
Yeah.
They got a Utah State, Utah Tech, University.
Right.
BYU.
So, yeah, Missouri had 6 and just
missed.
I hate
missed. Losing to use gravy, so. I must say.
Cyrus on the chat. Though. Thank you. Congrats, Scravy.
You earned that one. That was good.
I got it.
That was a good
I
one.
I wish, is there any way, can you go to the stream and go back and rewind? I want to see you go like this again. you're pumping both fists.
What?
You look like, what was that knock'em sock'em robot? You were just punching away.
I will clip that later. I got to wait till the end.
That was pretty funny.
Oh, man, that was good.
Good game.
That was good.
Good
game, Tony. Good game.
All right.
I honestly thought I was over. So.
Yeah, well, you know, you never can tell in these things.
See, if I can win, the Padres can win too, guys.
And the Dodgers are down 4-0. So that's all good news to start the 4 o'clock hour for sure. If you just tuned in, Fernando's in the lineup, as is Jackson Merrill. Sorry, Ryan O'Hearn fans. Just suck it up one night. He's getting
just
a night off to rest.
Just
it's okay.
Day
let
off.
It go.
Yeah, just
let
a day
it
off.
Let it go. It's okay. But he should be in there. Ladies, I can hear you yelling already out there. What else we got?
Well, we do need
we're
to play
do Chris
versus
the fans.
But
we only have a minute
late,
left
yeah.
in the segment, so... We'll have to table that for the time being. I'm trying to see
there
if there's
was something
any...
that happened that I was going to share. I can't remember what it was, though.
It's great.
Well, it's not going to help us.
Oh, that's what it was.
Ooh, here's
San
one.
Diego State, UCLA. That's what I was going to.
Ah.
For those who didn't know, you know, we've had the secret matchups between San Diego State, UCLA basketball over the...
It's not going to be so secret this
year. No secret this year. October 17th, the two teams will face off in the Viejas Arena.
Oh, can people go?
Spectators allowed.
Whoa.
Schools are taking advantage of a new NCAA rule permitting preseason games between Division I opponents in front of paying customers and not just for charity. The October 17th game will be outside the season ticket package, with seats sold at a reduced rate to benefit revenue-sharing funds of both schools. SDSU is expected to release more details about pricing and logistics in the coming days. Viejas Arena season ticket holders likely will get the first shot at the seats, followed by season ticket holders for San Diego State. So, anyway, the game is
October
actually
17.
Going to happen, and seats will be sold at a reduced rate, it sounds like.
I like that, and why not do that? I mean, they've been doing this in secret for 4 or 5 years, only that
charity,
it's not
right,
a secret, because
right.
Mark Ziegler breaks the story every time.
Every
time. So just play the game.
Mark
is
on this story as well.
Let us go to it.
Fitting.
One other quick note that you baseball fans will like, or may Padre fans for sure, Ha-Seong Kim is back. Not with the Padres. He's been claimed by the Atlanta Braves and is starting at shortstop tonight for the Atlanta Braves. So Ha-Seong Kim, that did not work out for him in Tampa at all.
No.
What did he do?
He was hurt most of the time.
Yeah, he was hurt most of the time. But not much with it with Tampa Bay. He's now the Braves. He basically is the Braves starting shortstop. They don't have one. So Ha-Seong Kim back with Atlanta. All right. Break time, and then NFL pick'em for the first time. Tony did lose, surprisingly, the Fantabulous, but he is the two-time champ of the pick'em, so we'll get to that after traffic. Talk about a hang with him. Marketa Vondrasova, tennis player, former Wimbledon champion, actually, was ready to play Arina Sabalenka in the U.S. Open quarterfinals today. Got hurt, evidently warming up this afternoon, practicing something, and unable to play. So Sabalenka goes right through to the semifinals. Pulled out of the match with an injured knee during warm-up. I again felt my knee, consultation, tournament doctor, decided not to risk aggravating the injury. I don't know. I think I'd risk aggravating the injury. You're in the U.S. Open. Can rest later. I know. I know it's not the smart thing to do. I'm joking, but that's just, you know, I hang with them, I guess, best you can do. Sabalenka goes to the semifinals against Jessica Pegula, whose father owns the Buffalo Bills. The quarterfinals on the men's side tonight, big one coming up between Djokovic and Taylor Fritz, San Diego's own. And man, does he embrace the city of San Diego. Like no other. I don't know if he's ever even mentioned it or if anybody's ever asked him about it.
It's great. Why are you shaking your head, man?
Because he just takes shots at Taylor Fritz every single time.
Because we can't get him on the show, and I don't know how much, if he's ever even known what we've asked. So I don't know if, you know, like. I don't know if we've asked him. I think we've asked his representatives.
I've asked the reps. They
you know
have not.
You know it's okay if someone doesn't come on
no,
our show.
No, it's not.
Not for me.
It's okay.
It's not.
Not
they
for
don't
me.
Have to come on our
yes,
show.
Yes, they do. I wish he would. All right, let's play some.
I wish he would.
It's not coming
on. Can we tell everybody our plan on Chris vs. the Fans? Because we did say we were going to play it.
We're not playing it today. That's the plan.
Jeez. I thought you were going to deliver it in a little better way.
That was straight to the point.
Yeah, well, we finished. We had the Fantabulous Game Show went into overtime today.
We'll give away two prizes tomorrow, because actually I should read the prize because we should
do that. They
do
pay for that mention, yes.
When you play tomorrow, you'll have a chance to win two tickets to the Head and the Heart at Gallagher Square on September 29th. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Awesome blossom. All right, let's go. What do we got? Oh, it's... Chris versus
I mean,
Tony.
You're driving the show.
NFL pick'em.
It's time for Tony and Chris to face off. Playing for a season-long prize of pride.
I see pride. I see power.
The guys make their picks. And then they stress over their picks all weekend.
No! Please, no! No! No!
Quinn and Chris, NFL pick'em. Peckham starts now.
This is a contest that really it's going back to the beginning of the days of the show. I think we've done it for the whole time. Tony and I picked the NFL games, but in our way, three-point game, two-point game, one-point game, and then we pick an upset. Team has to win straight up against the spread. Tony won last year, and he became the first repeat champion.
The champ is here!
Right, we'd gone back and forth every year for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, but last year, Tony won to make it back-to-back. So now he's trying for three in a row. And the reason you won last year is very simple.
Yes, it was.
Every time you picked a team to pull an upset, they did it.
They hooked me up.
It just happened over and over again.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
I think I hit the first, like, five of the year.
At least. And I never even caught up. It was a year-long frustration for me. But away we go again in 2025. Three-point game is first. Tony gets to go first the first week because he's a defending champ. So any game on the board, Tony, you're not picking against the spread at this point. You're just picking a three-point winner, the game you feel most confident about in week one. Who do you got? You can have anybody. And by the way, we do not, and I think Scraby will back us up here, Tony and I do not just throw these out there.
No, no. This
we
is
like
serious
think
business.
About this stuff.
Serious
like,
business.
Probably far too much. So
I will do America's team getting stomped out tomorrow.
Tony
Thursday.
Takes the
Thursday,
Eagles
yeah.
for the 3-point game. All right, I'll take Denver. It's amazing how things have changed. I read one report somewhere that said Bo Nix is going to throw 5 TDs this week. Denver hosts Tennessee.
I was going to say, who's putting that prediction out there?
Bo Nix, my wife picked him up in the 6th or 7th round.
Reach!
You think it's a reach?
It's just a fun thing to say for that.
It is fun to say, but if she heard you, she'll be like all upset now the rest of the night. Thanks, Scraby. Thanks a lot. No, Scraby said I was reaching.
Please don't pay attention to me, Lori. I really don't know what I'm talking about. He only threw... He got better throughout the year.
He was also the 7th highest scoring quarterback in fantasy football last year.
So. He threw a touchdown pass in every game except for the first 3. Okay. Oh, and then one more. Yeah, so anyway. Only 4 out of the 17.
A lot of people think Bo Nix is going to be really good this year. We'll see if it works out. Anyway, that's my 3-point pick. Tony for 2 points. Next up. The week one schedule, pretty good matchups up and down the board here. Not a lot of blowouts expected. Plus,
give
weeks one's always hard to pick.
I'll take Arizona on the road.
AZ at New Orleans. Yeah, it's going to be a long year for the old Aints. This might be one of their chances to win, though. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Who's starting for them? Spencer?
Rattler.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to bode too well.
Pick sixes. Get yourself ready, corners.
Pick sixes.
I'm just going to pick up the defense playing the Saints every week.
There are people who do that in fantasy. I'll take the Washington Commanders against the Giants. Giants. I know Russell Wilson played well last year in Washington. That was a great game. I think Pittsburgh actually won that game. So we'll see, but I'll take Washington for my 2. All right, 1 point, Tony. Who you got? Everything else is really tight on the spread. Or most every other game.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Bungles.
The Bungles.
The Bungles.
The Bungles at the Browns.
That's a rivalry game. That's not...
That is. Cincinnati. And plus Cincinnati. The one thing with Cincinnati... They're trying to really work on this, but they always get off to the slow start. We'll see if it happens this year. All right, I got to find a 1-point game. The next highest spread is Pittsburgh at the Jets, but there is no way you can go Aaron Rodgers going into New York. Man, the crowd's going to be crazy. Wow, these are tough. I don't like any of these. I'll take the... No.
Sound like me over there.
I know Stafford's hurt. I was going to take the Rams there for a second. Houston could beat them. I read something today that New England's going to be very fired up to face the Raiders because Josh McDaniels is the offensive coordinator in New England, and he's going to take it out on the Raiders for firing him. But why should I risk it on Josh McDaniels? All right, I'll try Jacksonville, Carolina. I'll take Jacksonville at home. Beat Carolina. Matchup of two not really great teams, but I'll take the home squad. Jacksonville for one. All right, now time. We reset the board, and Tony picks an upset. This is a team that he thinks is going to win straight up. And if they win, they're underdog. They win, he gets the points that they are underdog by. Added to his score. Tony Gwynn Jr., who's your upset pick? And for those of you out there, you should pay close attention because he's almost always right on these. I know what you're taking. I already know what you're taking.
No, you don't. What are you about to take it?
You're taking the Chargers.
No, I'm not taking it.
You're not?
I'm not taking it.
Really?
Chargers.
The Chiefs are favored by
I'm
three.
I'm going bigger than that.
You're going bigger
I'm
than
going
that?
I'm going bigger than that.
Okay. You're taking the G-men.
Nope. Give me your boy Cam Ward to take down
what?
The Broncos.
In the first
game. Wow, that's crazy.
Okay.
If there is like fool's gold for the Titans, it's game one.
Game one. Catch you slipping. That's why this is your best shot.
Bo Nix is already looking forward to week two.
He's already thinking about the five touchdowns he's thrown already.
Tony's going for a 7-pointer if Cam Ward wins his debut at Denver.
He's already thinking about the five touchdowns.
I wasn't even worried about this game, but now I am. Now that Tony picked them. All right, I'm not going to go as hardcore. I'm going to go with Detroit.
That's a good one, too.
At Green Bay. Green Bay is favored by 2.5, so I only get 2 points if I'm right. But I think Parsons, although it makes a difference, I do still think Detroit is the best team in the league, and we'll see if they can prove it. I thought you would take the Chargers for sure, Tony, against the Chiefs. But not to be.
It was too low. I needed
too low. He wanted heavy.
I wanted
out to a big lead and just put me in your rearview mirror
I
already.
Put the pressure on you early.
Yeah, you may have done so.
Oh, right. I struck a chord. Bet Bo Nix does better than Brock Purdy.
Okay, there we go.
We knew there was going to be some Brock Purdy.
I've already said it.
Who's that chat from? Miss Loriello?
I've already said it. The strength to have a losing season. So
I won't be surprised if the Niners are all right.
They're not going to.
I would.
I wouldn't be.
They don't have a wide receiver.
They got running backs, and
they finished in last place. That is not happening.
You know
again.
Your boy is going to run Christian McCaffrey into the ground.
I don't think he will.
I don't think McCaffrey's going to make it through the whole season. I really don't.
That's why I think they're going to miss
but
the playoffs.
But you got a good backup.
Brian Robinson.
Pretty just good. Acquired him. I bet you he's going to be good in that system.
I bet you they run him. Not that this is 49er talk, but I bet you they run him in like short yardage situations so they can just beat up his body and not Christian McCaffrey's.
I can see that too.
He's a tough runner.
I bet you're wrong. I bet you Christian McCaffrey carries the ball 38 times a game and Brian Robinson gets it once.
All right, let's make a side bet. Does Christian McCaffrey have over under? I should actually look at the DraftKings, but I'm going to say 17.5 carries on Sunday.
First game?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say
he's going to get 17.
He'll get 25.
He might get
touches.
17. Yeah, he might get 25 total touches or 20 total touches.
But we're talking, carries.
No, I don't think he's going to get 17 of them.
Okay. I agree with you.
49ers are in Seattle for the opener, those wondering. All right, we got a Big Five coming up next. Padres lineup is out. Fernando's in there tonight. Merrill's in there tonight. Rejoice, but only if Darvish.
Give the people what they want, gentlemen. Get them a win.
The O's.
People want to win really
Orioles
bad.
Orioles lineup is out, by the way, and it's again a bunch of guys I've never heard of, so that bothers me.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. First, this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Islands Restaurants. Summer refreshment, paradise, and ambiance, and the best burgers in town. Like the Big Wave with cheese and fresh-cut fries. $10 now for a limited time only. Visit one of our Islands Restaurants throughout Southern California today. Dine in only. We are going to be talking about Ha-Sung Kim. We're going to be talking about Dan Lanning. And Johnny Manziel was on Shannon Sharpe's podcast, and he had something to say about the Browns. I'm curious to hear what you guys have to say. So let's get right into it.
Number five.
Now, also, at 5 p.m., Jason Adam has talked to the media today following his injury, so we're going to hear from him a little bit, which I give him credit for standing up with the media. Well, maybe he was sitting. I don't know if he was standing.
Standing up with the media?
Yeah, I mean, it might be hard without a quad muscle to stand. So, anyway, we'll bring you some of what he said a little bit later. But Padre fan favorite Ha-Sung Kim has had a tough season with injury with the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Rays shockingly put him on waivers. The Braves ended up claiming him, and for all the Padres fans that thought Padres should claim him, the Braves had a better waiver order, so that's why they did. But they ended up claiming him and will be on the hook for a $16 million player option next season. So basically, the Braves are okay with him picking up the option to make him their starting shortstop next season. Tony, would you pay Ha-Sung Kim $16 million?
No, I would not. He, even for his time here in San Diego, he was often hurt. And $16 million is quite a bit of money. I mean, that's $2 million more than Luis Arraez, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Let me put it in that perspective.
I would say no. I would not pay him $16 million to play shortstop next year.
All right. Chris, would you pay Ha-Sung Kim $16 million to play shortstop next year?
No. Goodness. But I think the Braves are going to. I don't know why they would have claimed him otherwise.
No, I think
what's even the point?
Yeah, I think that's what they're thinking. Hey, we're just going to pay this guy $16 million
next year. They're going to pay him. There's no reason they would have claimed him. Otherwise, because what, you're going to throw him back in the pile? I think a more interesting question, not that I, you know, your questions are always good.
The pile.
Your questions are always good. But I thought we talked about this, you and I, last week. And over the weekend, Walker Buehler got claimed by the Phillies.
We talked
about the fact that the Padres picked before the Phillies.
Yeah, so they passed.
In terms of the waiver claim. And they obviously didn't, you know, pick Walker Buehler. Now, there's money and all of that involved. Just curious, Tony, would you have made a deal with the, you know, the craziness that comes with having Walker Buehler? Because the Phillies did it, and I think we do get ahead because they had a better record than we did, so we could have picked him, apparently, from the way I understand the rules.
Yeah, I mean, I think Walker still has good stuff. I think he's got some good mileage left on him, but who would you be replacing at this point? That
I don't know.
I think that's where it really boils down to. Like, is
and let's also be known that that happened before the Jason Adam injury happened.
Yes, it did.
So you can't put both of those together.
And by the way, you know, Buehler's a starter. You know, he's I don't know that he's got a whole lot of experience coming out of the bullpen. That's just my thought.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Dodgers are making a comeback.
Nice. Is it still 4-2?
It's 4-3 now. Shohei Ohtani hit his 100th home run of his major league. Oh, wait, no. He's hit over 100 home runs. Why did it say that? Oh, with the Dodgers. Sorry. With the Dodgers.
It's
all right.
Still 4-3. 4-3
two Pirates. Outs. Pirates
Bubba Chandler in the game.
Bubba Chandler not getting it done today.
Number four.
All right. Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy. He had some pretty good quotes, you know, over the years. We've heard him say, I'm a man. I'm 40. And something else about his mullet. But he may be hitting the right chord with some people.
And something else about his mullet? Is that what you said?
Yeah, he's always talking about his mullet. Oklahoma State plays Oregon on Saturday, and Gundy said to ESPN, Oregon is paying a lot of money for their team. From a non-conference standpoint, there's coaches saying they should play teams with similar budgets, which I don't think is the craziest thing in the world. But here is what Dan Lanning, who Oregon is playing, or Oregon's head coach. Sorry, I'm trying to put this on the stream, and it's just not working out for me right now. I'm having a terrible day with the technology. But here's what Dan Lanning said in response to the Mike Gundy comments.
Like I said, I got a ton of respect for Coach Gundy. you know, ultimately, how blessed are we to be in a place that's invested in winning? If you want to be a top 10 team in college football, you better be invested in winning. And we spend to win. Some people save to have an excuse for why they don't, right? And ultimately, like, he's a great coach. They've done an unbelievable job. But I want to be a team that's competing at the highest level. And we're really fortunate to be in that situation. So I can't speak on their situation. I have no idea, you know, what they got in their pockets over there. I'm sure UT Martin maybe didn't have as much as them last week, and they played. So we'll let it play out.
Okay.
There's Dan Lanning.
UT Martin versus Oklahoma State. So, yeah, UT Martin didn't have the same money. Dan Lanning, no wonder he's – I'm not a fan. I never really have been. Now I kind of know why. But go ahead. What's the question?
Yeah, the question
is – Do I like Dan Lanning? No, I don't like
him. No, I was going to ask you, Chris, is he right?
I guess so. I don't know. Here's the first thing about Oklahoma State. They had a guy named T. Boone Pickens. Do you remember this name at all? He was one of the richest people in history, and he was an Oklahoma State guy. And he gave them more money than anybody ever had a right to have in a program in the early part of this century, before the NIL stuff was, you know, wide open. And you know what's funny? Oklahoma State had one of the better teams there for a few years. Evidently, T. Boone doesn't keep up with whatever Oregon does now. So Oklahoma State's fallen back, and Oklahoma State had a bad team last year. I do think it kind of stinks for college sports that, as Dan Lanning basically said without saying it, the team that spends the most have the best chance to win. That's kind of why we used to like college sports, because it wasn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's exactly what it's like now, and so Dan Lanning's actually correct, even though I don't want to hear it.
Tony, is he right, Dan Lanning, in this case?
He's right. And although I feel like Dan is smelling himself a little bit.
Yeah.
I do think...
What happened in that Rose Bowl game there, Dan? I guess all the money in the world couldn't help you, you know, beat Ohio State. They got blown out.
I do think that he's right. And I just think it's a bad look when you lose.
Yeah.
You start going out and saying, well, this team, if we would have this much, you just look like a bozo. So I just think, Dan had a right to be, and I actually thought he was very respectful. He did his best to make sure that he made it clear.
Until he snuck the little line in about Tulsa or whatever.
He had to sneak that in there because my man was taking shots at him. So he snuck that one in, but I thought it was justified that time.
Fair enough.
All right.
Especially the loudmouth like Gundy. It's hard to stick up for him.
Right.
To be honest with you.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Yeah.
Number three.
Not 40 anymore.
Following Tulane's 23-3 win over Northwestern over the weekend, Tulane head coach John Summerall expressed his displeasure after Northwestern rejected Tulane's request to wear all-white, logo-less uniforms honoring the 2005 post-Hurricane Katrina team. Northwestern, as the visiting team, had already chosen white uniforms for the humid weather by the time Tulane made its request on August 17th. And Tulane's head coach said he used it for motivation and said after the game that disrespecting New Orleans like Northwestern did was all the motivation his team needed. Tony, anything wrong with Northwestern saying no here?
No. I get it. Put your request in earlier.
Yeah, this like the 20th wait. Anniversary's been here
yeah,
for
yeah, don't wait till the last minute. You are the road team. So guess what?
No, Tulane was the home team.
Yeah,
no,
oh, sorry. Northwestern's the road team.
But they're traveling, though. That's my point.
And they
like,
they gotta
pick all that, you know, make sure they have all the uniforms, all that stuff. So I just think, put your request in earlier. This thing probably would have been handled if they had done this properly, not wait to the last minute.
I mean, it's good motivation, though, if you can turn it around and spin it like the coach did. But, Chris, do you think there's anything wrong with Northwestern saying no here?
Yeah, ask them how they felt flying home with a 23-3 L. To Tulane.
They were much cooler, though, during the game.
Yeah, right. They weren't sweating.
They had their whites on, at least.
They got their butts whipped. I mean, for Katrina, you're right about the fact that the 20th anniversary is coming up, and maybe a football team doesn't think about that to the last minute. I think Northwestern could have made an exception here and, you know, worn some darker uniforms. But, and Tulane, to their credit, I think the coach used it absolutely perfectly the way he should have, and his team evidently bought into it.
I'm not mad at the Tulane coach for using it, but
yeah.
I also know that these equipment managers, they pack uniforms, And they may not have had the Dark Ones available at that point because they've already flown or done what they've done to get to Tulane.
Yeah, true.
That is a possibility. Well, hey, look, if they had called Northwestern last week and said, hey, we want you to wear, you know, dark, and they said, you know what, we haven't even got our darks in yet. It's the beginning of the season, and we were expecting to wear white. Perfect. They have every excuse.
I bet you they get a lot of these uniforms like the week before.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
So I'm saying they might have, Northwestern may not even have had their darks yet.
I just know that you're traveling the equipment manager for a college football team. He's got bodies that he's got to make sure they got extra uniforms of the uniform they're actually wearing.
You're 100% right, but the Tulane coach doesn't care about that.
The Tulane coach should do exactly what he did.
When the Tulane coach heard they said no, he's like,
oh, okay.
They said what? And he turned it against them.
Yeah,
that's
what he should have done.
Yeah, so good for him.
All right, let's go to Johnny Manziel. Number two. Former Browns quarterback Johnny
Manziel. Is there anything
Johnny
else we can do?
Manziel, he was on Shannon Sharpe and Chad Ochocinco's podcast Nightcap and said this about how he feels about the Browns organization.
I think I will always be looked at and viewed at because of how much hype and, media and everything that was around me and the city of Cleveland expecting me to be great, and that ultimately not panning out. Listen, you know, I sit here today and I go back and forth with, man, am I going to let Cleveland off the hook and just like let it go? Or am I going to sit here with hate and animosity in my heart for the rest of my life? And I finally sit here today and I'm like, F- it, I think I'm going to be pissed at them and hate them forever. So it is what it is, what, man. No love for the Browns. I'm rooting for 0-16 seasons every season.
So there you go. He's rooting for 0-16 seasons every season because it didn't work out in Cleveland. Who's up first here? Got to get back to my screen. Chris is up first. Do you think he's passing the blame for his lack of NFL success?
Yeah. Isn't that kind of maybe one of the main issues with Johnny Manziel, the human being, in the first place? From what we can tell, anyway. Feels to me like he's pretty much blamed everything that he's done wrong on something else. I don't know that he's ever looked in the mirror once and said, maybe I could have done that better. I've seen a lot of, you know, documentaries on Johnny Manziel. I've not been impressed by any of them. He seems like he ended up about where he ended up, deserved to end up. And that is as basically a punchline. And that's too bad because he obviously had the athletic skills, God-given ability to make something out of it. So the Browns are pretty easy to target to blame, but Johnny Manziel would be a whole lot better off if he could ever just sit and look at Johnny football one time. That's the way I see it from this particular situation.
I think it's fair. Tony, do you think that Johnny Manziel's passing the blame for his lack of NFL success?
I think both things can be true. I think he can be resentful of the Browns, and he also could be on
I did
passing the buck
passing the buck on his own issues that caused his kind of stardom to fall
start
out
to fade
to
yeah.
fade, you know. I think he admitted that he never watched film.
Yeah,
like I don't know that it's a good look that you're saying I hope I'm rooting for an 0-16 season every year after.
By the way, I didn't even try.
Right. I didn't even look at the film, and even when they were testing me, I still failed that one.
Yeah.
I just think he can be upset at him for sure, but he also has to take
the history books on Johnny Manziel, and the word sad just comes to mind over and over and over again.
All right. Number one. This is the real story I wanted to get to. Stefanos Tsitsipas was visibly upset after losing to Daniel Altmaier at the U.S. Open last week. Tsitsipas, the number 26 seed, confronted Altmaier, who was number 56, and was upset because Altmaier used a legal underarm serve. Never seen this in professional tennis. But it was legal, and...
You've never seen it?
I have never seen that.
Chris, he was really going like
yes.
this?
Yes! Yes,
served underhand.
So after Tsitsipas lost,
that's got to be an ego crusher right there.
Especially if you hit it into the net.
they met. Oh,
it's a legal serve. You just got to get the ball over the net. Yeah. There's no way how to do it.
But you have to say sorry if it touches the net. Sorry, I just beat you. But after Tsitsipas lost, they met at the net. He confronted him about his underarm serve, saying, quote, next time, don't wonder why I hit you, okay? The exchange
why
was
I hit you or hate you?
Hit you. Hit you, like H-I-T.
On the return, sir?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. The exchange was picked up on microphones, and Tsitsipas continued to argue as the crowd booed. Altmaier just walked away and waved him off, wanting none of the conversation. But between this and the insults thrown because of the netball that Taylor Townsend didn't apologize for last week, Tony, how bad of a look has this been for tennis?
I will say, we've got some sore losers in tennis a little bit.
I kind of like it because you want people to be sore losers a little bit because they care.
I thought the both of these incidents were one-offs. You don't see it very often. I did think the being that upset about a ball hitting the net and not getting the apology, I thought that that was a little overboard. But I understood where she was coming from, right? Because I have, for a long time, I used to ask my dad that all the time when I used to watch matches. I was like, why are they putting their hand up after that ball hits
them? See, Scraby had never seen it before.
I had never seen it.
It caught me by surprise the first time I saw it. And that's what it was explained, that it's just kind of the etiquette of tennis.
It's a nice etiquette thing to do.
Right.
Doesn't a golfer kind of feel a little sheepishly good if a putt rolls around and kind of goes in instead of straight in? They don't have to apologize, but they kind of go over there and realize they got a little lucky break. That's all that the tennis player's doing when they put their hand up on that.
But what if they don't think it's lucky? It just happened.
I think in this particular case, homegirl was salty because Townsend was also using the crowd to her benefit. So it kind of all blended. Yes. That she used that as the reason to go off on her. We got to get
as far as the underhand serve is concerned.
That's legit.
Michael Chang once did it to Yvonne Lendl because Chang hurt his arm late in the French Open final, and Lendl was so confounded, he had four or five in a row into the net, and Chang won the title on the underhand serve.
That's awesome. I find the underhand arm serve fine. I mean, the video was hilarious ran up to the net and couldn't do anything with it.
This is another athlete that is just a little salty because he lost to the underhand serve. It's all good. You got to hold that L, buddy.
Play better. Tsitsipas.
Let's get to break.
Jason Adam on the other side.
Happy hour on the other side as well.